On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with J.P. Finley.
What up, everybody? Redskins Talk Podcast. This is JP Finley. I am in Augusta, Georgia, and I want to be clear. This is not, this is not an emergency podcast. We are not doing an emergency podcast because the Redskins signed Phil Taylor. This is a regularly scheduled podcast. It just so happens I'm out of town. As always, we got the legend joining me via phone from the Lazy Boy, Rich Tandler. Tandler, what's up, dude?
Hey, how we doing, folks?
And then I just came up with a celebrity nickname for them. I don't know if they like it, but we've got Meat in studio in Bethesda, which is Mitch and Pete, therefore Meat.
I'm all in on Meat. Mitch is rolling his eyes, though.
That's a hard eye roll. I don't want to be paired with Pete.
Meat.
Meat is kind of good, though.
Or you can do Mitch and the Mutt. Either one works.
Mitch and the Mutt I can play with.
Yeah. What about Putt? Well, I guess that's just Pete and the Mutt. I don't know. I think Meat might be here to stay.
So for Meat.
So everyone's clear. I am sitting in a chair that I took out of the hotel lobby in the hotel parking lot. So I look pretty weird. If you hear me randomly talking to passersby, that's because I look very weird. Let's get to the business at hand. I think there are two things to discuss. The Redskins officially bringing back Phil Taylor for whatever that's worth. And Will Compton has signed with the Tennessee Titans. Tandler, I want to let you start with the Phil Taylor news.
Okay, I guess I understand it, you know, because they finally have a nose tackle on the roster. So you can't, I guess you can't complain too much about that. But, you know, obviously I think everybody knows the history. This is a guy who's not played a snap of football since November of 2014. So if he does make it to the field next September, that will be 4 calendar years, just about, nearly, between snaps of actual NFL football. And, you know, that's a heck of a long layoff from anything, but especially football, where timing and, you know, everything like that are so important. So
he's fresh.
But
he's fresh, Meat says.
if you can... Yeah, you know, if you can call recovering, you know, he's done a lot of injury rehab, that's for sure. I don't know how fresh that makes you necessarily. But, hey, listen, I like Phil Taylor. I was, I'm rooting for him. I rooted for him last year. I hope he can make it back. But all I'll say is if they're, you know, he better not be their solution at nose tackle. You know, they still better be looking at Jonathan. I know. And that's what. You know, I just can't get about this signing. So we'll see what else happens before I judge it really too harshly one way or the other. But you know, I feel if he can make the team, great. If he can make it back, that's great. But if he's the number one option at nose tackle on September 8th or whenever the season starts, that's not good.
Right. So a couple thoughts. I think it's worth pointing out how good Phil Taylor looked in camp last August. Now, for what that's worth is nothing because he didn't play in the regular season, but he was a force inside for the Skins in camp. And So that's the good news. The bad news, I would say, he tore his quad muscle off the bone, which is the same injury Adam Carriker had, if you remember Adam Carriker, and he never played again in the NFL. And that was Carriker coming off healthy season. Maybe Taylor's a different beast. Maybe he can come back from this. Who knows? I think the best line I heard about Phil Taylor is from Mount Rushmore listener Danny, who said, let me know how he's doing in October. And if the Redskins are able to get some games out of him, then it's a steal, because I haven't seen terms, and maybe you guys have, but I am sure it's a veteran minimum deal with some incentives. I doubt there's any money attached to this thing. And if you get Phil Taylor to play for you.
It can't hurt to have some depth. It can't hurt to have some depth.
I don't know that this even counts as depth right now, Mitch. That's all I'm saying. Do we know if he's even able to participate in OTAs or anything? I would highly doubt it.
I mean, the injury was 10 months?
August?
August. It's not quite that long ago. Yeah, you're right.
I hope it worked out. To Chandler's point, we got to know Phil a little bit during camp. Nice guy. He's from PG County. I mean, he's a D.C. native, grew up rooting for the Skins. There's a lot to love about the story. I just don't know how it ends, I guess.
Yeah, at this point, you sign him. You don't even have him projected as a backup. You bring him into Richmond and let him compete, but you can't rely on him at all. Any contribution you get is just an added bonus and worth taking a shot on, but nothing worth relying on.
I will say last year at training camp. Yeah, let's hear it.
Well, go ahead, Mitch. I just got a vodka Red Bull. That's my good news. You go ahead. Nice.
I was going to say last year at training camp, Phil Taylor was the all-time good guy, throwing on the NBC Sports Washington Snapchat goggles, glasses, and running around practice with it. He was all into it with the bucket hat and everything. Great dude.
Well, if that ain't reason to root for Phil, I don't know what is.
The only thing they have to lose is, I mean, he's a veteran. If he does end up on injured reserve, the Redskins, like last year, will be paying, I'm sure it's less than $1 million. I mean, it's not huge money, but they'll end up paying again.
I bet it's not
money
grand
off the salary cap.
Yeah.
What?
That's a good point, Chandler. And you've been, I think you are out in front on maybe why the Skins are being so frugal in free agency. Because So I went to Augusta today, and it's crazy not having your phone all day. You feel so removed from everything. But when I got back to the car, Taylor, I saw that you had a tweet that you're projecting the Skins salary cap space now is at like $9 million. Can you explain that?
Yeah. No, that's for 2019.
The projections right now are they have $9 million available on the book.
In 2019, yes. That's including signing Sheriff, yes, or him, his fifth-year option is going to be that.
But that does not include. But that does not include Preston Smith or Jameson Crowder, right? Right.
Correct. I mean, yeah. Anybody who's a free agent, it does not. It does not count. So they have.
Who the heck?
Again, to give the name. Let's just
Josh Norman.
Yeah, I'm writing about that.
Move?
Whenever this is coming out, and Wednesdays need to know, I look at some areas that they might be looking to trim some.
Well, give us a preview of Wednesdays salaries. Need to know, Taylor.
Well, okay. Well, I talk about Josh Norman. He'll be 31 next year. Again, this is not knowing what these guys do in 20 and this year. Obviously, he goes to the Pro Bowl this year. They'll look at it, but they could save like $8.5 million there. You have to think Jordan Reed, if he's on, if he's off the field more than on this year, he's a guy that they have to look at with. I can think of a $9.7 million cap number off the top of my head. So, and the purpose of looking at this now, not really looking ahead to next year, but in the draft, they might have to look for another cornerback. They might have to look for a tight end to do some succession planning to get these positions shored up so that they can walk away from these guys if they need to. Again, we haven't seen the 2018 season. If Jordan Reed plays 14 games and plays great, nothing's going to happen to him. Same with Josh Norman. But it's something that the Redskins have to start thinking about now if they have to trim some cap next year.
Well, to that point, Chandler, I think Bashaud Breeland with $11 million guaranteed over 3 years sure would make sense. I mean, I know it's not going to happen, but I don't know. It's interesting when you look at it that way. And, you know, in the last podcast, Phil Savage talked about the Skins will probably be looking at tight end. And Savage is pretty plugged in, man. I don't think he's pulling that out of thin air, and I find it interesting. I think so much of what the Redskins do is going to hinge on if they can pull off a trade back. And I know one of the meets, I think Mitch wanted to talk about Darius Geis, and we're going to get to that. Before we get to that, though, Will Compton signed by the Tennessee Titans. Comp, for whatever reason, is relatively polarizing for Redskins fans. Here's what I'll say. When Compton has been healthy, he's been a good player for the Redskins. We haven't really seen him healthy since 2015. And he played through a ton of injuries in 2016 and probably didn't play as well as he could. 2017, he got hurt again right when he got a chance to play. Comp is an all-time good dude. Like players like him, coaches like him, media likes him. He's a funny guy. I am rooting for Will Compton in Tennessee. Mitch, I know you guys were pretty tight. I want to let you talk for a moment.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone's going to wish him ill will heading to Tennessee. Hopefully things work out. The Redskins don't have to deal with him. I thought it was pretty classy, the message that he sent out to Redskins fans before he even announced where he was going, thanking them for everything they've done. He was an important guy in the locker room in that he was a guy that connected with everybody. He was tight with everyone from the DBs to the running backs.
Yeah, he's got Matt Ioannidis and Josh Norman tweeting at him, just a lot of different people. Will Blackman, an ex-Redskin, a lot of guys.
So, I mean,
dude, he was the defensive captain in 2016.
Yeah,
easy to forget that now.
It's hard to weigh the importance of having glue guys like him, but he definitely was a glue guy for that defense.
Is it fair to kind of say he's a little Niles Polish of the defense, a leader guy, glue guy who you may realize that when he's gone that you kind of are missing a bigger piece than you originally thought?
Yeah, I think that's
premature to say that, though. I mean, they're both now just gone, so who knows
right. If
that's going to be the feeling this fall, you know? Taylor, from a football perspective, what's the loss here?
Well, you know, it's the guy was a valuable backup. Maybe, he played, it's like I said, one season where he was the starter the whole time in 2016. He got injured roughly midway through the season, played through it, and I think that's where a lot of the vitriol from the fans came, when he really probably shouldn't have been out there, but, you know, he wanted to get through. But, you know, he made it, you know, practice squad, it's an undrafted guy out of Nebraska. Made it up onto the 53, special teams, you know, sub work, everything like that. And he just did a good job working his way up. And I think he's the kind of guy who will stay employed around the NFL for a long time.
Definitely. You know what I'm going to miss most about him? His Stone Cold Steve Austin pregame rants. Beer,
and
tequila, vodka, more beer, more vodka, more tequila.
That's all on Ryan Kerrigan's shoulders now with Will Compton gone. It's a big load for him to bear.
That stuff got all the clicks. And Compton was always like, I enjoyed talking to Compton. Like, you could always go to Compton when you needed to, holding a microphone, holding a camera. But it was more fun to talk to him just without a microphone or without a camera. I mean, I've actually, like, hung out with Will. He's a good dude, and he'll certainly be missed.
Oh, we did Top Golf last year with him and Mace.
Yeah.
That was awesome, man. That was just cool hanging out. There was a camera for a little bit, but just kind of shooting it with those guys and hanging out. He's a great dude.
Yeah, agreed. All right, Tischler, what's your thing you wanted to talk about, guys?
So,
yeah, and before we get going, I wrote about this. I think the excitement over running backs with the Redskins is kind of overblown. I think Jay Gruden was pretty dismissive of the Skins taking a back early. I think it only works if they trade back and get more picks. I also think two of the four roster spots are locked in, and I think expecting Robert Kelly to be gone is a little premature as well. So, end rant. Go ahead, Mitch.
Mitch, one more thing before you do. Guys, we had him matched up with Tremaine Edmonds in our authentic fan draft bracket, and Geis is blowing Tremaine Edmonds out of the water. So fans clearly are thirsty for a talented running back. I thought he would get destroyed by Tremaine Edmonds, but Guess not.
That is so incorrect.
Yeah, it's so ass so backwards. Incorrect. Yeah.
What they could use in Tremaine Edmonds, the guy literally engineered to be a 3-4 outside linebacker. He can cover and he can rush the quarterback.
Shocked me, too. Go ahead, Mitch.
This is just all to my same point. We've been hearing so much pushback lately in the last week or so, 2 weeks, about guys like Vita Vea, who they're saying are two down players. Darius Geis is a two-down player. Chris Thompson is still there. He was arguably the best scat back in the NFL last year before he got hurt. Everyone forgets how good Chris Thompson was, and wherever they draft a running back, that's not gonna preclude Chris Thompson's snaps.
Right, I agree. And I think Geis could be a three-down player. Let me say that too.
He certainly has the ability too, but in the Redskins' offense, I don't necessarily see him on the field for 50 snaps a game.
But the point is having somebody who can do those things. So you have a, if you will, Chris Thompson-like threat on the field on first down, and somebody where you don't have to, you know, the Redskins, they're behind so often sometimes that Thompson ends up playing more snaps than any other running back.
Right.
I don't think that they want that. I think they want a guy who can do it. You know, so like I said, do catch the pass, make the big run on first and second down, and still bring Thompson on third. But you know what? If you do that, maybe you don't have as many third downs.
My counterpoint to that is just I would love to see them bring in, and regardless of which D lineman it is, a guy who's going to put the other team behind the sticks. Let those guys deal with a second and 12, a third and 13. And he may only play two downs before he's got to come off the field, but put them in those third and long situations where – normal defenses win more often than not.
Two things we know, gentlemen. Mitch loves the big men and is clearly stating his case for the big men. And two, the Redskins rushed for more than 100 yards in three of their first four games last season. They had a terrible opener against the Eagles, and then they went for at least 100 the next three games, including 225 against the Rams. Before the mountain of injuries, they were running the ball, and that gets completely tossed aside in the conversation. We talk about what the injuries did defensively, but I think you've got to try to look at what they did offensively as well. And all of this is to say, Geis is a hell of a runner. I think he's going to be a really good NFL player.
Absolutely.
And I certainly think he could. I certainly think he could help the Redskins. I think it's a luxury, and the Redskins are still shopping for utility items. They're not in luxury land quite yet.
That's a good point. They're certainly not in the Rich Tandler land.
Yeah.
No.
Not many of us are.
Tandler lives in the lap of luxury.
What can I say? Yeah, but, you know, I think there's about a 0% chance that the Redskins end up with Geis. Even if they trade back in the first round, I think they'll find a more utilitarian type of player. Somebody's going to draft him and be very happy with him for a number of years, I think. But, you know, I just think the Redskins need more meat and potatoes kind of players. And you know, JP and I can discuss whether or not the Redskins will go running back in the second round. I think there's a better chance of that than JP thinks. But it's not – I don't think it's the absolute dead necessity to take a running back early that a lot of fans tend to think right now.
And to be fair to the authentic fan poll – to be fair to the authentic fan poll real quick, Tremaine Edmonds won't be there either.
Maybe. But let me push back on Tandler a little bit. I wouldn't say it's 0%, dude. I know there are high-ranking Redskins officials that really, really like Darius Geis. And so I don't think it's a 0% chance that he gets drafted, even if it is at 13. I wouldn't say it's higher than 15%, but there's a chance that happens. And I think fans, it sounds like, based on the authentic fan poll, it sounds like fans are excited about it. I do think that's a semi-legitimate possibility, as much as anything is in the draft. I mean, it's a wide-open crapshoot.
Wrong, 0%. Moving on.
All right.
Hey, Binary Tandler, nice to have you.
Yeah, I've been missing Binary Tandler.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
All right, have we taken care of all the business? Is there anything else to discuss? Can I talk about Augusta now?
Go ahead and brag about your trip. That's fine. Me and Mitch are just sharing a potbelly cookie in a cramped studio while you're at Augusta.
Yeah, wake me up when this is over.
Taylor, you can go ahead and hang up, dude.
I want to hear all about this, by the way. I'm into it.
I kind of wish it was the entire pod.
This place is incredible. It's impossible to really explain the attention to detail. It's just pristine. The grass, the pine straw, the trees, everything is perfect. I watched Tiger Woods play three holes of golf today, and he was 5 under par. I saw him eagle 13. I saw him eagle 15, and then he birdied 16. And it was like, I am all in on Tiger winning this tournament. Locked in.
Am I allowed to play Masters music as you're talking? Do you think I can do that?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to insert that now. Just keep talking about it. I'm going to put some nice Masters music over this.
Pete is so happy over here. You should see the look on this kid's face. Yeah. You would think
this is going to be my first real Tiger at Augusta experience, as I didn't care about golf before this last year or so. So I am lit about it.
It is unbelievable, man. And I got to do some stuff that is a little out of the norm. I got to have lunch in the Augusta clubhouse. I had fried chicken and pulled pork and onion rings. And it was incredible. We got to see kind of the history of Augusta, and it's hard to fathom how sick this day was. Dude, I got to talk to Justin Thomas. I got to talk to Jon Rahm. I saw Phil Mickelson eating lunch. I saw Johnny Vegas eating lunch with his daughter. The waiters, the attention to service, it's unfathomable, and I recommend everyone in the world go if you can. It's Disneyland for adults. It was, dude, and the wildest part, we're so used to going to sporting events, right? You go to a baseball game, you go to an NBA game, a beer costs you $14, you know, a personal pizza costs you $12. It's an expensive outing. You go to Augusta, a egg salad sandwich is $1.50. And a beer is $4. It's just, everyone's in a good mood. There's more staff than you could possibly imagine. They're the friendliest people on earth. It's wild, man. It's wild.
Did you have any pimento cheese sandwiches?
Yeah, I'm going to do that tomorrow. I did egg salad today. And then because we had lunch inside in the clubhouse, I didn't do what, a lot of people do, which is pimento cheese for lunch and stuff. But I will. You know me, Mitch. I'll eat everything.
Believe me, I know. I'm pumped about it. I love me some pimento cheese.
How's your digital camera treating you?
I am so... first off, I'm a mutt because my guy Danny told me to bring a camera. I totally forgot that. I didn't bring a camera. Last night, we're driving around. Went to three different stores because every digital camera is bought up.
For those listening, this is because you can't bring a phone into the grounds, right?
Right, which is so jarring when you're like me and probably all our listeners, and you're so used to having a phone with you all the time.
The question is, did that digital camera cost more or less than Pete's bar tab?
That's a great question.
Less, but not by much. It was $150. What was Pete's bar tab? $250.
$150 is steep.
Right, for a camera I'm never going to use again. Yeah. Whatever, man. Things happen.
It's worth it.
And off the record, my father-in-law bought it, and I'm just going to try to pretend that I forgot that we're supposed to split it, and we'll see what happens.
That's a good way to treat your in-laws, who already like you a lot, I'm sure.
Dude, I got the tickets, man.
Okay.
In that case, call it even.
Right. The camera is cool, but like...
Small potatoes.
I'm terrible at taking pictures. Mitch, I never knew how hard it was to take pictures, dude. It's been a while.
I take moving pictures.
I did some videos. I got video of, Pete, I hung out. I saw your guy Ricky Fowler for a bit.
Ricky.
I have video of him trying to skip his ball across 16.
Yeah, I heard a lot of guys are doing that. Oh, God, I'm getting jazzed up.
Dude, I hung out at 16 and had a couple $4 beers, and you just, like, as dudes go by, they hit their regular tee shot. Maybe they hit two tee shots. And then the whole crowd just starts going, skip, skip, and you yell it until the guys walk up to the fringe of the pond and they skip it across the green. It's incredible. I wish I had the words to describe it, but it's unbelievable.
Did you yell
Taylor,
dilly dilly at all?
Hell no.
If I went there and tried to do a Redskins talk air horn, would I get just banished immediately?
You should. I would hope you would. Dude, it's a privilege to walk in the gate. And, like, if you mess with that, you don't belong to be there. Here comes Mount Rushmore, Danny, right now. I'm recording a podcast sitting here in the parking lot. Danny's laughing at me because I look absurd. But, yeah, it's the best place ever. Chandler, are you still awake?
I'm still here.
What did you think of my Masters recap, dude?
That sounds interesting. I hope I can go someday.
Yeah, JP, while it took you like 15 minutes to call in, Chandler was talking about how he's kind of excited about the Masters, so he was somewhat interested in that, I'm sure.
Dude, yeah. I had peach cobbler. I left that part out. It was incredible.
Pecan pie is better.
Incorrect. Incorrect.
No, that's wrong, Mitch. That is wrong.
Peach cobbler is better than pecan pie.
You guys are both wrong. You guys are both wrong.
There it is. All right. I think we're good on the pod now that I'm just talking about Augusta. Any other business to take care of? Pete, you got anything? Anything happen in your life?
Well, for those lingering from the podcast party, I did get a $50 Penn Commons gift card in the mail yesterday, which I thought was very classy of them. So I just want to give them a nice thank you, and I can't wait to go back. And hopefully leave on my own.
Go ahead. Chandler, tell the people what to do.
I guess you should whine about your bar tab so you get something back for it.
Yeah.
But besides
incredible.
That, keep doing what you're doing. We blasted away our previous record for listeners last month, I believe.
Destroyed
and,
it.
But you know what that means? The bosses say, hey, guess what? You got to beat that.
Do it again.
This download, review, and we're going to add this, tell your friends.
Yeah, tell your friends. I tell you what, I ran in. This was unbelievable. A dude came up to me at the third hole of Augusta while I was watching Bubba Watson and Jordan Spieth. And I tell you what was incredible. Ran into my guy, Eric Powell, who came up to me and said, I love watching Redskins 100. I thought that was pretty wild to meet somebody down here that big of a Skins fan and watches our shows. And Pete, I know you're sitting in my chair, dude. How was the show the other night?
I was still on Pete Island, but then I got to go hang out with Jenks and Beamich, and Beamich and I were wearing the same shirt, so that was a constant topic of conversation during the show. But it was fun. We missed you dearly.
Was Beamich mad that you had the same shirt as him?
I kept my jacket on, and then in the first block when they came to me, I took my jacket off just so Beamich couldn't tell me to change beforehand. It was a calculated move.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well done. All right, I think we're done. Thank you guys for listening. It is it's draft month, so we're going to have – we talked about Geist on this one. We're going to have more draft content than you guys can imagine. Next podcast should come Friday morning, barring travel schedules. We'll see how it all goes. Thank you to specific thank yous to Mitch and Pete for making this work.
Meet.
Chandler, as always, on the Lazy Boy, me in Augusta. For the record, I got to drive down Magnolia Lane today. It's real and it's spectacular. As always, if you made it this far, I owe you a beer. Later, guys.
So are you having fun in Augusta? I can't tell.
Yeah. I wish you'd say something neat you've done.
Horseman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Horseman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Horseman story.
Horseman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Horseman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Horseman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Horseman story.
Horseman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.